Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, it's Lani Ka'a here. I'm in studio for Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to the Good Life Radio Show. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What does it look like to give back to your community? Many do so, but our guest today, Charles Hulin, has really done an amazing work. He'll share his life journey and how with God, our greatest valleys can be the very grounds that birth the vision of our future. We take a minute to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to the hope of Jesus Christ. Such an important hope, the only hope for the world today. No matter what you are going through, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he died for mine. He shed his blood. He was buried, but he rose again. And he cleanses us every day of our unrighteousness. His mercies are new every morning. We are forgiven by grace. We are white as snow every single day. What an amazing God we have. Today, he is calling you. We're going to share the story of Charles Hulin. He is the chief executive officer of the Hulin Group, a real estate and investment company focused on affordable housing, community projects on the leeward coast of Oahu. That's big. And
that
I'm wondering, when you were little, was that something you thought we would say after your name?
No, not even close.
He is on the board of the Waianae Coast Comprehensive Center, and he is a partner of Kohala Properties, LLC. Charles, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for coming in. We are blessed. You know, Suzanne and I recently were at an event, and we were able to see you receive an award. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we were at that luncheon, and I swear I heard the Lord in my spirit say, this person, we need to get him on the Good Life Radio Show. So thank you for turning that around so quickly. Thank you for your openness and availability. We'd like to start where you started, right at the beginning. Where did you grow up and who was that great influence in your life?
Well, I grew up in Waianae, mm-hmm. Low-income housing. I would say I felt a little different growing up, because my mom was Vietnamese, so, you know, growing up Vietnamese in the 70s after the war and mm-hmm. not having many Vietnamese, I'm half Vietnamese, half Chinese, Hawaiian, mm-hmm. you know, wasn't very much Vietnamese in Waianae, mm-hmm. you know, so growing up, I felt, it was challenging, mm-hmm. you know, I felt bullied, I dealt with, you know, the fighting, which I wasn't used to, but I would say the biggest influence on my life as a child would have to be my dad. Yeah.
And tell us more about your dad.
He was the most compassionate, understanding human being probably to this day that I've ever known. I get emotional thinking about it.
It's okay.
It's okay.
No matter what I did, he always sat me down. Mm-hmm. He always talked to me. He always reasoned with me. Mm-hmm. I never really understood what he was doing, like maybe the thought in his mind. But if I made what I made up and what I've took from that I do to my children is he treated me like an adult in a small body. Mm. And so when I look at my children, I communicate with them in such a way as they're an adult in a small body. Mm. Yeah. You know, so when one time, and how that helps me is I remember one time my son was, you know, was having dinner, was talking to one of his friends, and I said something. I got so used to of when I speak, he turn around and listen. You drop your conversation, and then that reminder in my mind said, "Oh, wait a minute! I would not interrupt him or anybody if they were an adult." Mm-hmm. And I apologize. I said, "You know, I'm sorry. Continue your conversation." He must have been like 8, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And his friend's mom looked at me like, "Wow, it's kind of interesting."
Yes.
But that's what I took, I think. My dad never shared that with me, but I just imagined what was going on in his mind, and that's what I learned as a child. He treated me as an adult in a small body.
Mm-hmm. Charles, mm-hmm. do you know where your mom and dad met?
My mom is from Vietnam, mm-hmm. and my father was in Vietnam during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was conceived there, and I think maybe a month or two later, when he rushed to try to get her to come to Oahu.
Yes.
I was born here.
Wow. Wonderful. Wow. Oh, that's beautiful.
That's an amazing story.
He really did his best to try to get me to be born in the United States.
Is he still living?
No, he passed about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. 96.
Okay. Wow. Did he live to see you have children?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. Wow. He lived to, you know, see it all, pretty much, you know, and that was a real blessing.
Mm-hmm. Here's one of our military men that lived to be 96. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you're a young boy and you grow up on the Waianae Coast. And, you know, for us people who were born and raised in Hawaii, we go, whoa.
Waianae.
That's awesome. Tell us, what were some of the greatest challenges you had growing up there?
Fitting in, feeling like I belonged. Mm-hmm. I don't think I quite felt like I belonged, mm-hmm. you know, in Waianae. Being bullied, felt like a consistent thing happening in my life. Mm. Being afraid to be me, you know, because there's things that I would say and do, and maybe if I said this and I get punched in the stomach, or if I did that, I would get these, you know, negative reinforcement. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the biggest challenge for me as a child.
Did you have any support from your teachers?
You know, I don't think
that was hard too.
I don't think they knew. You know, I never really said anything. I don't blame them. They never really. Yeah, they never really knew about it.
Okay. You were a silent sufferer. Yeah.
I was, and I think it was conditioned because I was abused as a child from my mom. My mom abused me pretty consistently, physically. Mm. And so there was this shame of going, okay, like, don't tell anybody what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you have siblings?
Yes, but they were much older. So from my parents, they're just me, but there's a 30-year difference.
Wow.
Yeah. And my older brothers and sisters were in their 30s by the time I came along.
Wow. And were they even in the United States, or were they in
They were. Okay. But they were just gone doing their own thing. So I was pretty much raised as the only child.
The only child. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. So how do you cope? I want to ask you this question, which I don't always ask, but today, if you could go back and talk to your 8-year-old self, 10-year-old self, what would you say to them, to that little boy?
I would say that you're enough.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. That's exactly right.
You know, because so many things were happening in my life where I felt like I made a mistake, or I didn't listen, or I went outside to play when I shouldn't have, or and I was getting these negative reinforcements, you know, whether it's from the bullies in school, from my mom, and I've repeatedly made up in my mind, oh man, something must be wrong with me.
Well, to grow up like
that. Yeah, maybe I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, we don't normally do this on our show, but my goodness, it's a time for prayer. Mm-hmm. Because there are people in our audience that unfortunately are still there. Mm-hmm. That 8-year-old person is still living inside of them, and they need to know. Would you mind praying for others, for kids maybe that are listening who are in that space that you were in, that need to hear that message? Would you pray for them?
Sure. Okay. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we ask you that you just be there for everyone that, you know, are dealing with the challenges, that the belief of whether they were told at a younger age that maybe they're not enough, or maybe they were wrong, or maybe they're not loved, you know, who feel and believe to this day that, you know, maybe I'm not loved. Maybe that was the reason why I was treated this way, or I was abused, or, you know, I was taken advantage of. You know, heal them. Mm-hmm. Heal them. Let Jesus. Them know that they are enough, that they are loved, that you do love them.
Yes.
That your love is unconditional, and your love is forever, and your love is deep. Let them know that they are enough. That they're enough to accomplish anything that they want in life. That no goal, no dream is too big or too small. Mm-hmm. Be with them, guide them, heal them. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you. I mean, that alone, that alone is the purpose that you're here. It's just that message that you're enough. You know, if we can't say that loud enough on this radio show. And over again, the challenges of our young life come upon us and we start believing things that God never meant us to believe. Mm-hmm. And the lies that are planted in us, whether intentional or not, mm-hmm. can sometimes be the very thing that limits, stops us from doing the amazing work that we need to do on this earth. You are an example of that. You have broken that barrier. You have come through, and now you are a child of God, mm-hmm. first mm-hmm. and foremost. But you're being used in such a mighty way. So thank you. When you were growing up, I know, you know, you had all of these challenges, but you also began to have some successes, because I've read about your entrepreneurial life, and I've read how very sort of, I don't know, just good you were mm-hmm. at many things. So tell us about that part.
Yeah, I was fortunate. My parents put me in activities like soccer and baseball and Boy Scouts, mm-hmm. and I find that I excel. Mm-hmm. I think so if I get into something that interests me, I will put everything I got into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so when I played soccer, I played on a championship team. On baseball, I went on a championship team. They put me in Eagle Scouts, Boy Scouts, and I became an Eagle Scout.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. They put me in, you know, karate, yeah. and I became a second degree black belt. Mm-hmm. And so all of these activities and things that they put me in, I really had a chance mm-hmm. to excel in a lot of things. And I was drawn to entrepreneurship, I think, at a young age. I remember, you know, I don't know if they still do, but they used to have the teriyaki in this white container. It was mm-hmm. like raw. You just fry them up. I used to put them in a microwave because I didn't know how to cook. So I'm probably 8 years old, and I get a few slices of that, and I get leftover rice because I still don't know how to cook rice, and microwave it, and I would sell these plates to the neighborhood kids for mm-hmm. 50 cents.
Mm-hmm. I love each. It.
Yeah. 8 years old. Making money.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. So intriguing, but want to hear more about this part of your life. Want to just hear, because you've already got all of that God calling on your life, mm-hmm. skill, spiritual gifts, but you didn't know it yet, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. so we want to kind of come back and talk a little bit more about that. But then we really want to talk about, gosh, God called you into his presence, because mm-hmm. all of that wasn't leading you into the right place, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So we want to go there, and we really want to share that, because there are others that are similarly all the tools and gifts of the Lord going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. Let's come back to that. We are here today, very, very special guest, Charles Hewlin, local boy from Waianae, sharing his story. It's an amazing one. Stick with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here in studio with Suzanne Maurer and our special guest, Charles Hewlin. We're going to come back to that, but if you'd like to hear this entire show from start to finish, this is the second segment. Maybe you just joined us. You can always go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can click on our guests, type in Charles Hulen, and you can listen to this from start to finish. You can also download it and share it with somebody who might need this word. And I tell you, it's a good one. Charles Hulen is a local boy, born and raised in Waianae. What a great young man he is. And you know, in the last section, we were talking about as he was growing up, he was seeing success in certain ways. He was gaining success in sports. He was gaining success in Boy Scouts, in all areas, because he had that drive and that desire. But when we went to break, we kind of talked about misguided success, desire. What is the purpose? Kind of share with us what you were telling us on the break about that.
I think the question was, you know, did that help? Did I start build
gain confidence?
And right. I said yes and no. You know, I did gain confidence in my abilities. Mm-hmm. And I started realizing, I can move my I can mimic my body to what I see. That's mm-hmm. what, you know, karate did for me. If I see something, I can mimic it. Yeah. My athleticism, all these things, I've gained confidence in that. However, deep inside, I still felt not enough. Mm-hmm. And it was that desire to prove to my parents, to my mom especially, mm-hmm. that I am enough and let me achieve this thing here and maybe then I will be enough. Mm-hmm. Or, okay, well, I didn't get it. Let me achieve in this next thing and maybe then I'll be enough. So it was a consistent thing to go from one thing to the next thing to prove my worth.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so many of our listeners are struggling with that very thing. Mm-hmm. It really is interesting.
Yeah.
So keep going. Tell us more.
I know that, you know, you had many young successes. You started businesses, a nightclub. I read a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that time. And I know that time became very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was during that time I got involved. Well, I right before that time, I have always had opportunities to be involved in illegal activities growing up in Waianae. And, you know, being a Boy Scout, martial artist, I actually joined the Marines on high school.
Wow.
You know, being a former Marine, I was like, no, I have these values and standards, and I'm, you know, not going to get involved in that. And that was a belief I had. And there was a moment, I think my job was threatened and my income was being threatened. Mm-hmm. And in that position, I said, oh, man, what am I going to do? Mm. And I had the appearance of looking like I was doing well for myself. I had bought some things. I had, you know, the car and the place. And my fear of looking like I failed, right, not being enough, went, huh. I mean, at that time, I wasn't thinking, it wasn't conscious for me. Mm-hmm. Like, now looking back, in that moment, I would say, well, I need to do what I have to do to take care of my family. Mm. You know, I need to do whatever it takes. But really, it was my fear of not being enough and people realizing that. And that made me go, let me compromise my value right now in order to feel enough. Mm-hmm. And I got involved with drugs.
Wow.
You know, sales of it. I never used it, but it was for the opportunity to make money.
Wow. And isn't that so such a reality? You know, you never really know that you're starting down a slippery slope. Because you're trying to do the right thing, but what you said really resonated in that you were, the facade was that you were doing this to take care of your family, and that was it. But the reality under it all was the fear of failure.
Yeah,
the fear of people really finding out.
Exactly. It didn't dawn on me until I was in prison, and it finally went down. Right. Wow. And my wife is divorcing me, and I said, I did this for us, and she said, no, you didn't do it for us because we never wanted you to do this. And I went, well, how did I come up with this concept that I'm doing it for them? And that's when I really started to look into things.
Mm-hmm. Because at some point, very not too long after starting to sell, you actually got busted.
I got busted, yes.
Did you get set up?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was set up. I was under, it was a undercover operation that lasted, I think, 8 months.
Wow.
I think 27 of us got arrested. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was what I thought was the height of my success. Mm-hmm. You know, I owned a nightclub. I'm 26, 27. I owned a nightclub. I had the number one record label. in Hawaii. I produced an artist named Pati, and if you heard of Island Girl. Mm-hmm. So I produced Pati's first album. And I got my drug business going on, and I'm feeling like, man, I'm on top of the world.
Wow.
And then it all came. I released the album in December of 2000, and January 2001, January, February, March, 3 months later, I got busted.
Wow. And it crashed pretty quickly.
It came crashing really quickly.
What was that experience like?
Oh, it was, at that time, the closest thing to death that I could imagine. I never had, again, up until that time, I never had a near-death experience. Mm-hmm. I had recently, but it's a different story. But why I say that was the closest thing I could experience with death, it was I lost my freedom, and then I lost my business, and I lost my money, and then I lost my wife, and she, when I was in prison, and I get served the divorce papers, and then she's saying, I'm taking away your kids, and all these things, these identities that I put on myself started to get stripped away, and the suffering that I experienced was the most painful experience of my entire life.
Were you at Halaba?
I was in FDC.
Federal.
In federal detention. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. And how long did you serve?
I was sentenced to 8.5 years.
Wow.
Ended up serving, with good time and everything, I ended up serving 7.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What was that time period like, that 7 years? Was God in your life yet? And what did you learn in that 7 years?
So the turning point for me was, I'm in solitary confinement for something I didn't do. It was totally innocent, which is even more... Mm-hmm. You know, frustrating and was depressing for me. It's like, I'm innocent. Like, okay, I belong in prison, but I'm innocently put into solitary confinement for 30 days.
Wow.
And being alone with your thoughts, with no one to speak to, no way to distract yourself, no nothing, and an hour feels like a day.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the most painful experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was depressed. I started to hallucinate because I wasn't even eating. My immune system was shutting down.
Wow.
And then while I'm going through this experience, I get the divorce papers.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm like,
how did you get out of solitary?
You served the 30 days. You just, I was sentenced to 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it got out. Mm-hmm. And then it was later reversed. They found me innocent, but it was too late. My wife already divorced me, and I lost everything. And it was. But point is that at that moment, I remember breaking down. I remember kneeling on the floor. I got my elbows on the on my bunk, and I remember praying like why?
Yeah.
You know. Why did I end up here? Why this? You know, I went to church. I grew up Mormon.
Okay.
I even held leadership positions all the way through Sunday school. And I was like the kid that everyone said, like, man, that kid's going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I was like, what? How did I end up here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm breaking down. I'm crying. And I get these flashy images in my mind. And my mind starts flashing all this. When I was younger and going through Boy Scouts and church and
Eagle Scouts
and like, how did I go from that to being a full blown drug dealer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and now I'm sentenced to 8.5 years in federal prison. And then it was the one gift that came out of that moment, and what I saw as I'm praying was these little compromises that I made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the lesson I took from that was, man, be careful of the little compromise. Mm. The little
choices.
Yeah, because I didn't go and be a full-blown drug dealer. At first, it was like, oh, let me sell some marijuana. Everyone does marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, marijuana. And I go, I'm already selling marijuana. Why don't I just sell more marijuana? Mm-hmm. So I'm shipping bigger amounts. And I'm like, well, I'm already shipping drugs, illegal drugs in. Why don't I just sell crystal meth now? Because it's more profitable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I need some help. This, right? I'm starting justifying it now. Well, they're going to buy drugs from somebody anyway. Why not be somebody who's at least honest? It's not going to steal from them. Make sure they got good products. And so the little compromises that sneaks up on us, that is what really starts to change. And I've come to realize the biggest consequence isn't getting caught. The gate consequence is not when somebody catches you doing something wrong, mm-hmm. right? Whether your parents or your husband or your wife or whatever, people at work or your boss. Yeah. The biggest consequence is when you make those compromises and then you begin to change as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because you have to adjust your reality, right?
Because you start adjusting.
You build those structures, those lies.
You know, right? And then you build those lies and all of a sudden you think, wow, I got away with it.
Right.
Oh, maybe it is okay. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you start changing, mm-hmm. changing. And I saw myself transform from this, this pretty much ideal child mm-hmm. that every parent in church thought, man, I want my son to hang out with you.
Right.
To mm-hmm. now being this right. drug dealer in prison.
Yeah.
Did you meet Bobby Smith in federal prison?
No.
Okay. We're going to take a break real quick. This is amazing. You know, we all struggle with that. And I think what one of the things that you have just talked about is really a takeaway from this show, is the little choices we make have consequences. It's not always the big one. In fact, most of the time, it's not the big ones. The big ones are just the last ones that get us
it's
caught.
It's accumulated. Yeah.
It is the little one along the way.
That transforms who we are to make the choice of the big one.
Exactly. Yep. And how do we keep from that? We keep with the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
We keep in His Word. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He convicts our hearts. He sets us back on the path. Those little choices only happen because we're isolated from our experience mm-hmm. and our relationship. Mm-hmm. And we desperately need, in order to keep on track and not make those choices, that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We're here with Charles Hulen. Stick with us. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha lani ka'a'a, here with Suzanne Maurer and our special guest, Charles Hulen. Charles, we were talking about a season of your life and you had gone through prison, but I want to go back and I want to say this again. Charles is the chief executive officer of the Hulen Group today.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also once a young father and a young husband, was caught, sent to prison for his crimes for 7 years. Talk about a restoration. Mm-hmm. What an amazing, we want to press into those times. Your time away was tough on your family, mm-hmm. especially on your parents. But it proved to be an amazing journey for you, one that connected you to people, that really changed your life.
It turned out to be a huge blessing.
Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit about some of the blessings of prison?
But, you know, I didn't pray. I probably don't remember praying so much up until that point, until when I went to prison, right before getting sentenced. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I got sentenced to 8.5 years, and I was like, wait, what happened?
It's my whole life. Yeah. At this point, you're thinking, that's my life.
Yeah, because I knew by that time, when I get out, my children will be grown.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and my father probably won't make it. He's, I think, 80, in his late 80s at that point. Mm-hmm. I probably might not even see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really just a testament to how amazing God is, was because I've gotten so much benefit out of being in prison for that long. Like, where people even say now, like, wow, I think I should have gone to prison. Like, sounds so good. You got so much out of it, you know. Uh-huh. But fortunate for me, I went to a prison camp. So I've never been arrested before, nonviolent. So there's no barbed wires, no fences. You can just walk right off.
Oh, okay.
Really. In fact, I was locked up with, I don't know if you're familiar with Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong.
Yep. Mm.
He was he was across from me, and his roommate was, they made a movie after him, Jordan Belfort.
Wow.
Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm locked up with some of the brightest and smartest guys from Wall Street, and, you know, Harvard MBA guys and doctors and lawyers, and me, this boy coming from Waianae. Like, you don't meet guys
like
this.
And was it on this island or no?
No, it was Taft.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Taft. So California.
Amazing. Taft, California. Yeah. Okay. We had tennis courts, bocce courts, football fields. Like, it was like a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look like a prison at all. But fortunately, I'm with these guys, and they said, hey, you know, I'm a businessman. But then really they look at me like, no, you're a drug dealer who try to pretend like you're a businessman. You want to be a businessman, you need to get yourself education and continue your education. So I signed up for college courses, went to community college there. Eventually, when they transferred me, I ended up transferring to get my upper division courses from LSU.
Wow, good.
I learned stocks. I learned real estate. And I'm a developer there, and a guy who owned his own hedge fund. So I was fortunate to meet and learn so much. I started exercising. As you can tell, I've still got my exercise gear on. I walked in. And so I started making my health important because I was overweight for a long time. Ever since then, I still keep my, keep in good shape. So it really just, transformed. I took courses on learning how to be a parent.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm not going to be there for my children, but what if when I do get home, I'm a better parent?
Mm-hmm.
And so I took all the parenting courses I could. I went to church hill every Sunday. Actually, I was in a Catholic church, and because I know music, I started, they needed a choir director, so I was the Catholic choir director, and we were so good that they would let us out to prison and perform.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Where God's grace was surely upon you.
Yeah.
Surely upon you.
Yeah. It was tough, yet at the same time, it was truly, truly a blessing.
Mm. And then the day comes that you're going to be released.
Oh, yeah. That was...
It was like a
dog in a cage, looking at that steak and just wanting to get out because it was like, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't create success. I couldn't create a business. I couldn't be there for my children. I couldn't, I couldn't even have a relationship. And I started taking relationship classes. So I really took every single minute in prison.
Wow.
I was like, I didn't waste a single moment.
Mm. So you had all the
I didn't watch TV.
I
didn't play cards. I didn't hang out like most of the guys do, because you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
I spent every waking moment developing, growing, learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they let me out, it was, people see, how my life blew up really quickly. They'll say, oh man, you created success so fast. Well, they didn't see the 7 years that I was being shaped.
Right. Doesn't God have an amazing way of getting our attention?
It was amazing. It was amazing. Now I'm like,
he goes to every extent, doesn't he?
And now that's kind of what I'm known for. Mm-hmm. Like, when people, I speak, all over and there've been radio shows and TV and interviews and whatnot. And people now want to hear the guy who went to prison and changed his life. It's like that story that God had shaped me and guided me through, even though I didn't want it. Like, I didn't want to be in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a hunger for knowledge. Yeah. Which is such a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you took advantage of it every turn. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So as you come out of prison and you want to jumpstart this,
yeah.
What were some of those challenges? I mean, you needed to reintegrate into your family?
Yeah, because my relationship with my children was tough. Mm. You know, my daughter had a tough time adjusting. You know, she ran away from being with her mom because they lived with me.
Oh.
I was at a point where my son didn't want to talk to me. You know, it was very challenging. So it was great seeing them. I came home, they actually all came and they welcomed me, but there was still this underlying, you know, issues that we needed to work out. With that, you know, working, being in the halfway house. So there's like a halfway house actually right down here.
And how long were you there?
I was in the halfway house for 3 months.
Okay.
And while in there, I knew, okay, if I'm going to do it again, I got to start a business. And then my first business I actually bought while in the halfway house. Using payphones because you don't have cell phones. So I'm using a payphone. I bought this business in Texas, a pizza restaurant. And I raised the money and bought it. And yeah, I was going. I was moving.
Wow.
A pizza business in Texas. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know how to cook. And I can't travel.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. And as you're starting to reintegrate with your kids and your family. And I know you began to really start businesses, really. Mm-hmm. What called you back to your community?
So when I came out and I bought my parents' house first, actually, try to get them out of debt because they went into debt taking care of me and getting my lawyers and all that. So they were like $40,000 worth of debt. Mm. And I really wanted to make sure I didn't want to be the son that, you know, put the burden on my parents. And I always felt this clock was ticking for me because my father was about to die.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he didn't have long. And once he passed and that income for my mom wasn't the same, she wouldn't be able to take care of herself.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, I got to make this work. Right. The clock was ticking for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought their home. I think I bought maybe like 3 or 4 properties. And I was putting in offers everywhere. I had dreams. I'm going to be this developer in Kaka'ako.
Oh.
Right? I want to be Noel. That's what I...
Should I call you Howard?
That's what I thought. I'm going to be Kaka'ako. I'm going to be this big developer. People are going to know me, right? Mm. I'm just speaking from ego, but that was what my thought was. And another time, God kind of intervened in my life, and I was getting frustrated. Like, all these offers wasn't going through.
Mm.
But somehow, when I have an offer in Waianae, it went. Like, I got accepted the offer. And I remember frustrating, and it was one of those frustrating moments, and I went, God, are you trying to tell me something? Honestly, it wasn't like I was actually expecting an answer.
Mm.
It was more of me venting. Just, man, like, wow, are you trying to tell me something? Man, what's going on? And then there was this moment of quiet, and I had this sense. It wasn't like God said, yes, go to Waianae. It was, I felt this strong sense that I'm supposed to be there. And I knew it wasn't me because after that exact moment, I went, I don't want to do it. Who's going to get respect as a developer in Waianae? It just doesn't even sound great together. Waianae developer?
Right.
Is there any development going on in Waianae? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me to surrender and go, it was such a strong sense that I felt it had to be in God. And I... Okay. And I surrendered and
wow.
All I can say is the things that path has taken me, you know, since then.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Acquiring all the properties I have, some of the, you know, nicest and beautiful buildings now that I do have and fortunate to be a part of in the community.
Yeah.
In transforming the community, you know, bringing businesses like I brought in a restaurant. Because I wanted to do things for the community. It wasn't, you know, Waianae is always, I'm getting some cheap food. You guys can cheap this and cheap that, you know. And I went, no, we deserve better.
Yeah.
There's people out here that want more. And so I always say it's easy to buy a building in Waianae and make it nice.
Mm.
It's convincing a tenant to come into Waianae.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, convincing a business owner, to come into Waianae and saying, hey, this is what wine I can offer if you open. And so there was some challenges there. But, you know, I brought in a breakfast place, that Countryside Cafe, voted one of the top breakfast places on Oahu. And mm-hmm. in fact, every tenant in the Maile building were voted number one on Yelp. Mm-hmm. You know, best breakfast, best mm-hmm. a gourmet bakery.
Yeah.
Where would you think a gourmet bakery right. would open in Waianae?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I got Pearl Federal Credit Union, mm-hmm. the only credit union in Waianae. Mm-hmm. It's one of my tenants.
Yeah.
The building, right? So it really started to transform the community in the sense of bringing businesses into the community that mm-hmm. the community would love and enjoy, and they'd start to notice and feel mm-hmm. that transformation. It's mm-hmm. just been an amazing journey since.
And you know, there's so much more happening in Waianae. You know, there are churches that are thriving there that have, you know, really been as well transforming.
Absolutely. Arca Safety.
Yep, Arca Safety. Mm-hmm. Can you speak on some of these sort of transformations? Because it seems to be going hand in hand.
Huge. I mean, they do such huge events mm-hmm. on Maile Beach, mm-hmm. you know, like Easter. Mm-hmm. And I mean, their events are huge. And it weren't like that.
Yeah.
You know, just even, I think when I came out of prison,
yeah.
you know, just maybe about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. 12 years ago, as it came out in 2007, so about 12 years ago, mm-hmm. it wasn't even like that. I mean, the spirit that's moving throughout our community now, mm-hmm. I mean, it's
absolutely,
it's huge.
Yeah. So good to hear. We're going to take our last quick break. We want to come back and we want to talk about Waianae. We want to talk about more. Really the heart of why you do what you do. God did call you back to Waianae. Mm-hmm. You went kicking and screaming. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I believe there's a reason, and I believe he's planted it in your heart because you have a different vision for the kids in Waianae mm-hmm. and their future, and you've done some things to plant seeds, to create a new normal, mm-hmm. a new reputation, mm-hmm. so that Waianae is looked at differently forevermore.
Yeah,
we want to hear about that. It's good stuff. Thanks for being with us. We're here today with Charles Hulin, doing a great job. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a here with Suzanne Maurer. We're here with Charles Hulin. What an amazing story of a local boy born and raised in Waianae, influenced greatly by his surroundings growing up. You know, a story of learning to be enough, to know that you are enough. God says we are enough. But fighting for recognition for so much of his life. And then coming to a place where small decisions to keep that image up and to keep that reputation going led him to a place where he was selling drugs to kids that lived in his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it was to keep that image up. Mm-hmm. But God got a hold of him in a mighty way, sent him to prison, got him on his knees in a worse space that you can think of, in
solitary
confinement. Yeah. What an amazing story that is, too. But, you know, we were just talking in the last segment of God's redemption, his redemptive love for us, right? I mean, you always had all of that ability in you. And at the top of the show, we talked about how we can misuse God's gifts to us and go in the very wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And today you sit here truly making an impact and making it for Jesus Christ and for the future of the very community that you once were selling drugs in. Mm-hmm. How amazing is that thought to you?
It never dawned on me until you just said it, actually. it sounds amazing.
You know, though, here's what I'm hearing, and I don't want our listeners to miss this, is sometimes God has to allow what he hates to redeem what he loves. And he was with you every second of that imprisonment, in solitary, in the 7 years. And we need to realize that God is with us. He loves us. And he's walking through this with us. And he did it beautifully with you, Charles, in my opinion.
Yeah. Amen. You know, we were able to see you win an award. Mm-hmm. At a recent luncheon, and I know you've been recognized before, but tell us about what prompted you to donate $100,000 into that education system on the West Side.
God, again.
Not $10,000. Yeah. No, that was 50 after the one. That was $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Again, these amazing, sometimes in my mind's crazy. It's like, man, this is crazy. Like, really? I'm like, 100,000? And so what had happened was this, it's December 4th, my birthday. And I wake up and I say, okay, what do I want for my birthday? I said, I'm going to decorate the home for Christmas. Because my children are grown, and my younger son stayed with the mom, and so I was like, we didn't really decorate. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to buy a tree and I'm going to decorate, celebrate Christmas. And I said, what else do I want today for my birthday? I says, I'm not going to plan anything. I'm just going to be open to whatever opportunity God puts in my path for me to make a difference. Mm. Whatever that is. Just look for whatever opportunity. If God puts whatever opportunity, I'm going to make a difference. And I'm driving on North Shore. I'm checking on one of my projects out in North Shore. And I come around and I see one of my friends that opens a cafe out there in Haleiwa. And stop by and she says, oh, I need some security cameras. Just after conversation, I go, oh, I have extra security cameras in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. Opportunity. Hey, God put this in my path.
I love it.
I make a difference. Okay. And as we're talking, I hear someone in behind me who's lost. So I think it's a tourist I didn't see, and looking for Wahiwa. And I turn, I go, oh, I can give you a ride. Again, opportunity, right? Right. Oh, I can give you a ride. And she looks at me. She goes, oh, can I trust you? Because it does seem weird. I didn't think of it at the time. All I'm thinking is, I'm looking for opportunities.
Right.
First thing she says is, can I trust you? And the owner of the place is there. She's like, Charles? Oh, my gosh, yes, you can trust Charles. Mm. And she's like, oh, okay. And so we're driving. And it's real quick, funny story, because she says, she's asking me, what are you doing today? I'm like, oh, it's my birthday. It's like, no, really? What? It's your birthday. Why are you driving me? I said I was going to see whatever opportunity God puts in my way, you know? And I drop her off in Waihua, and I'm on my way home. And as I'm on my way home, I hear, it was about 2 weeks prior, I heard from somebody who's on a committee that said that Waianae Elementary was looking to raise $100,000 for a learning center. Wow. So I already heard this about 2 weeks prior. So fast forward, it's my birthday. I'm driving home. I'm around by Cunha, and I start visualizing my digital vision board. So I have a digital vision board. You know those digital pictures? Mm-hmm. I've saved some pictures, and I threw them up on there so it replays. Mm-hmm. And I'm replaying my digital vision board in my mind. And a picture that comes up in my head is a picture that I put on my vision board of a sign says Waianae Elementary.
Wow.
And the picture that comes up right after that, I just get emotional thinking about it. The picture that came up right after that is a picture of about 40 kids sitting in the library. And I'm crying like I am crying now, thinking about this. And I went, oh my gosh, God, is this, you know, the opportunity that is before me that you're providing?
Yeah.
And I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like really? Like, I'm going to commit to this? Mm. This is a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as if I can, $100,000 is like a drop in a bucket for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still is a lot of money. And,
money, paper towels.
Fortunately, I've had so much experience up until this point. Thank you. I've had so much experience up until this point where God was there, like you said, throughout my life. Mm-hmm. And, in guiding me. As a child in prison, to be in Waianae in the first place, like I wouldn't be in this position had not God guided me to go to Waianae. And I said, why am I going to doubt him now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I'll make a way. Yeah. And at the time, I didn't have a way.
Yeah.
It's not like I had $100,000 sitting in my account and I was like, I'm going to go donate this. I'm a lot of my money is stuck in real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
You know, I own all these properties. People think I'm rich, but I own properties. Right. And if I start selling it, then I have some cash, but I don't have $100,000. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I make the call. I said, Charles, call him right now because before you talk yourself out of it. Right? I can talk myself out of this if I don't act. I called the president of the committee and I says, hey, I'm going to donate $100,000 to the school. She's like, oh my God.
Is that person still living?
Yeah. And she says, wow, Charles, how does it feel? I was like, it feels like I want to throw up. Like I just gave up a liver right now. You know, that's what it felt like. It was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe I'm doing this. Yeah. Yeah. And the most amazing thing had happened that night. I text my partner and I was like, I just did something pretty crazy. And he calls me because he's afraid. Like, what do you mean? Like, what's going on? Are you okay? And I said, I just committed to donating $100,000. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what? He's like surprised. He's shocked. Like, I can't believe you just did that. What? And he goes, like, guess what? I go, what? He says, we just got approved for a $1.2 million loan.
Wow.
That we're going to be able to refinance our property and you'll get $100,000.
Wow. Speechless, right? God is so amazing. I'm speechless.
But praise what a Jesus. Message for our listeners. Mm. Trust. Mm. You're telling us so much about trust. Mm. And we need that. Mm-hmm. He is a God we can trust.
But you know what? It ties back to the beginning of our interview, and this is what I hear, little choices. Mm-hmm. You woke up in the morning and you had your time with God and you dedicated your day to him. And you said, whatever you put before me, Lord, I will do. Mm-hmm. Little choices. Mm-hmm. The Haleiwa Cafe, little choice. The ride to Wahiawa, little choice. Mm-hmm. And God was like, okay, we're on a roll. Yeah. I'm going to give him another little choice, and he's going to make it. So praise God you made that. I know you have a heart to just change the whole reflection of Waianae. I got to read a great story, and we don't have time to share it. I'd love to have you back, but how one day you're going to buy a Lamborghini and you're going to put a W on the side and paint it the colors of Waianae High and, you know, bring pride back to the West Side.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the younger kids don't know who I am.
Yeah.
A lot of community, I'm fortunate to have a lot of community support.
Yeah.
But it's those kids, you know, that when I was that young age and yeah. you know, they don't see, you know, what they see are the drug dealers
yes.
who has the cars and the flashiness and all that. And there's a lot of people in the Waianae community that are successful.
Yeah.
However, I'm not the only one. There's a lot of us. Yeah. But we've come to a point in our lives where we're kind of low-key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've gone beyond that phase.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we don't really communicate to that. And I realize that I need to do something to communicate
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
You know, something that says when they see a nice car and they go, wow, what does he do? That it's going to be. I spoke at Waianae High School
yeah.
once, and I one question I asked them: when you think of someone who has money, what do you think they do? And they all said, sell drugs.
Oh. Mm. Wow, that's amazing. You know, Charles, it's been amazing to have you on the show. We so appreciate your story. We so appreciate you, but more importantly, just God
and Amen.
God's
Amen.
Great hand of mercy that
Absolutely.
Has taken you from the miry clay. And has lifted you to a place where you now can be a blessing to so many others. That learning center forever and ever will be a testimony to his great love for the entire Waianae Coast through you and through many others. But you're here today. And we want to say thank you so much for sharing that story.
Thank you.
We just pray, Lord God, bless Charles in an amazing way. Give him vision for greatness in you, Lord. Give him words that will uplift you, Lord. Give him finances and resources, all that he needs for the vision that you have for him. For the sky is the limit and beyond, as long as we take those small choices and make them yours. So, Father God, I praise you for Charles, for his heart. I praise you for the giftings you've given him, mostly the relationship that you called him to in such a mighty way, Lord. Thank you for his testimony. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Inspiring words from Charles Hulen. There is no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ. He goes to the depths to find us. He brings us back so that we might do what we can while we're here for his glory. Today's a perfect moment if you have not already. Open your heart to Jesus Christ. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Get to Know Jesus. There's more information on how you can yourself have a relationship with him. If you'd like to make a donation, help us out, pray for us, click on thegoodlifehawaii.com partners link and then let us know that you're out there and praying. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to our guest, Charles Hulen. And until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Antai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a here for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll